I am thankful to God for his blessings, amen, and for your prayers. I appreciate everyone's prayers. We feel it. My wife does. She needs it. They are now in Silsby again. They got there yesterday or day before, and they're going through everything, and they're going to be there a while, and I'll fly out in about a week and a half and drive everything back that's left, and we're praying that God blesses their end of it. And so far, we can see that the Lord's hand is there and things are just falling into place. I want to continue to see that happen, and amen, and let his will be done. Amen. In this day that we live, so many pressures come against us. You may not have any right now, but just hold on, you'll get yours. And if I were to ask you, do you feel like the days are too long and you just have too much time on your hands? Other than the children, I don't think an adult here would say, yeah, that's me. I just have too much space in my day. We feel like we're running out of time, probably most of the time. And when you get a day off, when you get a big blank canvas of Saturday, it's not long before that day is gone. And you get a Monday off like we get tomorrow. I want you to enjoy it. But notice how quick it's going to go by. Because you're going to compare it to the next day that you're at work, and that's going to drag by. I don't know why it is, but it's just that way. But, you know, actually, the days all last the same. It's our perception that's different. And so today I want to talk about God's time zone. And he does have a time zone, and it's not always the one I'm in. But God does have a time zone. Amen. Let me say to our guest, so good to have you with us today. This is your first time. Again, thankful that you're here. And we'd like to get to meet you after church, if you don't mind. And so please be sure that we get to say hello before you go. Let's go to Romans chapter 13 and verse 11 through 14. And I've got this to read, and then we'll go to some others later. But this is my main text today about God's time zone. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry or drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife or in envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Verse 11 again, do this, knowing it is time. And now it is high time to awake out of sleep. God's time zone. Amen. Father, we ask in your great name, Lord, that you would be glorified. And Lord, that your word, Lord, would have its intended purpose today. Your will is above ours. Your purpose, Lord, is so higher than ours as the heavens above the earth. But Father, we pray thy kingdom come. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Read an article. I want to read a little bit of this article to you. The longer the articles are, the less, you know, I have to say. And if the articles are good, we'll go back and read it again if we have to. But no, I like the Smithsonian magazine. The articles are usually really long, but this is not going to be a long part. But they have an article in here about the time zones. And it said, it's the 19th century, you have no phone, imagine that, no watch. But what you do have is a very pressing appointment at noon. How do you tell what time it is? In the 1800s, the three main sources of determining the time were the clock at the center of town, the railroads, and the sun. But it would not be uncommon for all three to tell you different times. Every city or town had the ability to set its own time. And so if they set theirs to 1:05 p.m. in your town, and your watch could often be maybe 115. Or the next town over might be 105 and your town might be 115. They didn't call each other and say, so what time does your clock say? Because every town felt like their time was the right time. It was not uncommon to be in the bank and you looked up at the clock and you know you have a package to get at the train station and it says 11:45 and you're thinking, well, I can walk down to the train station. In these little towns, you could do that. And I'll walk down there and it'll take me 5 minutes. And as you're walking, you look inside the diner and the clock says 12:05. You're like, wait a minute. It didn't take me 20 minutes to walk 20 steps. So the bank and the diner are on two different times. And then you wonder, well, when is the train coming? Is it according to the bank time or the diner time? And if you could ask the conductor, he'd say, neither one of them. We're on train time. Because the train system, they had their own time and they went by their time. And it wasn't all the same either. Because early in the 1800s, each train, each station had it what it called station time. It's our train station time. It actually occurred. One of the first reported incidents which brought about the change of how time was organized on railways in the United States occurred in New England, August of 1853. Two trains heading in the same direction ran into each other. It was a terrible crash. It was because both conductors had their watches set to two different times. And so the one said, well, I've got enough time to go this way before I hit the switch off and the other one come. And he thought he had enough time and their clocks weren't right. And that wreck, that crash, is one of the wake-up calls to where the railroad said, we all have to get on the same page and we all have to go according to the same clock because we want to get along and we don't want to have different times and different zones. And so that's when they realized in this country also that we needed to have time zones. And I found this out. This is very interesting. Russia, just this summer, changed their railroad time to have different zones. Before that, if it was 5 o'clock on the very western side of Russia, it was 5 o'clock on the eastern side. And they're about 7 time zones wide. It's a massive amount of country. And they just now said, let's go ahead and divide it up into time zones. Now, the rest of the country had zones, but not the railway. They needed it to be all the same. And if you was going to go catch a train, you needed to understand, what is the railroad time? Isn't that a little bit confusing? You know what else is confusing is to operate in your own world and think that God's setting his clock by you. When we should be setting ours by him. What are you doing, Lord? I needed you today. And the Lord said, no, today was the day that I needed you. And you woke up, remember, on the wrong side of the bed instead of the right side. That happens to me. I don't know if it happens to you. But Romans said, knowing it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. And so let us cast off darkness, the works of it, and put on the armor of light. Sandusky, Ohio was one of those towns. This happened really in many towns. The same story was told. The train would get there at a certain time. And you know how they would set their clocks in the town? They would look up, and when the sun was straight up, they would say, it's noon. Everybody, it's noon. And they would set their, well, they didn't have wristwatches. They had pocket watches. They'd set their pocket watch, put it back in there, and it's all set because that's noon. But you could go 4 miles down the road in the next town. Theirs is set by a different noon than your noon. And your clock doesn't match. And the train comes in. And you're going to go there and get your package. The store manager is going to go there and pick up his shipment that's supposed to arrive. And the train's leaving. And he tells the conductor, what happened? It's just now 5 minutes till noon. He goes, well, no, actually, it's 12:13 because he's on a different time than you. I think one of the most frustrating things in serving God from the human standpoint is when we find out that God is in a different zone than we are. And it's hard to get God back in our zone. Matter of fact, God operates in his own way. And he kind of expects me to find him. Amen. He expects me to line my life up with his, not his with me. Because he's God. He can do those things. And I'm usually the one running around trying to find out, Lord, who are you and what are you doing now? We sometimes get the wrong zone. When we pray for a need, and oh, we will get on our face before God and say, Lord, I have a need for you to fill in my life, and it's going to affect my family. And we change everything just to get God to do what we're asking him to do. And life changes, circumstances change, and 24 hours changes, and then something else came along, and we're no longer needing what we asked him for yesterday. We've gotten out of the zone, and we're in another zone of, I'm working it out myself, Lord. Your word says, work out your own salvation. Well, I'm working out my own answer, so thank you. And God's back there where you prayed, saying, I'm trying to send something to you, but you've got to stand still, and you've got to wait on me. Elijah was on a mountain, remember? And he was in God's zone. Oh, how he was in God's zone. It was time for him to knock it out of the park, and he proclaimed to the worshipers of Baal, you come here and you build an altar and you call fire down and you do it as long as you want, and then I'm going to build me an altar, I'm going to call fire down, and whoever's the God that answers by fire, we're going to call him God. Is that okay with all of y'all? And they said, sure, yeah, that's going to be the winner. And they got on their altar and they cut themselves and they cried out for their God, and it went on and on and on, and he made fun of them. He even one time said, you know, maybe your God had to go to the restroom and he'll be back in a little bit. That's what he said. Read it. That's what he meant. And he made fun of them. He put them to shame. And he knew he was a man of faith. And here they are bleeding all over this carcass that they've cut up. And it's not happening. He said, are y'all through messing around? I want to show you what God does. Built the altar. Put the animals on top. Dug a trench around it. Poured 4 barrels of water on it. Water was precious, but he poured them out. Go fill them up again. Fill them up a third. Fill them up the fourth time, and you're going to see that water run down the altar, drench the sacrifice, drench the stones and the wood under the sacrifice, and then the water was running out of the little gutter that he dug around it. The ditch was overflowing. He goes, now then, and Lord, you are the Almighty God, and he prayed about a 57-word prayer, and when he got through praying, fire came from heaven, and God did not stop. He made a point. He consumed the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the water, and there was nothing left when God got through operating in his zone. Amen. And all the people said, now we know that he's the Lord. Those Baal worshipers, oh, they like that trick. Now we know. See, we were led astray. We were worshiping the wrong God. Now we know he's the Lord. And Elijah said, well, too late for y'all, because you were calling on your God 10 minutes ago. And so let him save you if he's an almighty God. Let Baal save you. And then he turned and said, go ahead and kill all of those guys because they're the bad guys. And we're showing God's people who God really is. And then he said, all right, now watch this. We're going to get rain now. Now see, there's people that got their feelings hurt and got offended because he poured 16 barrels of water on his sacrifice. There's people that will get upset over little things like that. Back in the Bible, not now, but in the Bible days they did that. Would never happen. Nobody is that sensitive these days. And so he said, I'm going to pray and God's going to bring rain. Now, that water was something. The fire was something. And now they're waiting to see if God's going to send rain. And he told his servant. History tells us it's probably the lady, the Shunammite's, or the woman of Zarephath, rather. It's her son that he raised to life. Much like his predecessor, or his protege Elisha did later on. And so it was that little boy, possibly, that was grown up and now was the servant. And he said, go look and tell me what you see. And he ran and said, there's nothing. And he went back 7 times. And remember, he came that last time. He said, I finally see a cloud. He didn't say, all right, let me get my umbrella and let me stand out here and see if rain. No. When he said there's a cloud about as big as a man's hand, he said, all right, king, you better get down here quick because I hear the sound. Now, he didn't hear it, but he's talking by faith. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. The reason he could say something like that is because he had worshiped and he had prayed his way into God's time zone. He knew, I don't need to see proof because I am in the presence of the Lord and God is about to prove himself to you. And all I've got to do is just wait on the Lord. When you're in the right zone and when you're in God's time zone, you're going to walk by faith and you're going to learn to wait by faith, and you're going to see by faith what God can do. Human reasoning interrupts that sometimes. I can tell you, I'm a professional at it. I've interrupted the plan of God because I didn't see him working fast enough. But that's another sermon. This is not show and tell today. I want to glorify God. Elijah runs down the mountain, and he goes to Jezreel. And that wicked king's more wicked wife sends him a note. And he takes the note, and then he reads it from Jezebel. And she says, "This time tomorrow, you're a dead man for what you've done. You're messing with the wrong woman." Now, he just saw God send fire down, consume a sacrifice, and after 3.5 years, now it's raining. It's raining everywhere. It's raining on the note that he's reading. It's raining on the ground around him. It's just raining. And people are dancing in the rain, I'm sure. That's what they do when it hasn't rained in 3.5 years. They're just glad to have rain. We don't know that dance here. We do not need that dance here. It's going to rain today, I'm sure. If not here, a mile or two away, it will rain. We're having a lot of rain. But imagine people that hadn't had rain in 3.5 years. They're excited. They're celebrating. And he reads the note. You know what happened to him? His humanity. All of us have it. We all have it. Let me tell you something. Pastors are human. You can be up here preaching under an anointing of God, but you can get just one bit of bad news, and it just shades everything else that you've done and that you felt. And why? Because we're humans. So I'm not going to stand here today and say he was defective in some manner. Something was wrong with Elijah. I can't tell you that. I can tell you he was a lot like a lot of preachers. Amen. He rode the wave when he could ride the wave, but whenever reality hit, he might have just fell down on his back and like a June bug, you know, with his legs in the air. Like, I don't know, I can't even turn myself over, God. I'm so bad off right now. And he read the note, and he said, "God, you just need to let me die. This is awful." And he just took off running. "I got to get out of here." He went to sleep, and an angel visited him. Remember that? Cruise of water, some bread. Eat the bread, drink the water. Went back to sleep. And he went on the strength of that food the angel gave him for a 40-day journey. The Lord didn't tell him to go to Horeb, where Moses was when he received the law. The Lord didn't tell him to go there. But that's where he wanted to go. Because he said, "I've got to get back to a place that I know what the voice of God sounds like. I know that God has met people there before. I remember the writings, and I know Moses was there, and he met God there, and I've got to go where God is." Why is it, church, that we can go from a high, high to the gutter in a matter of minutes? And it can happen with information. Amen. It can happen with information, but the information doesn't come from within the kingdom. Usually the information comes from outside the kingdom. It's usually a fiery dart shot over the wall and comes into your soul from some other place, and it hits its mark, and you pull it out and realize, "This thing is burning me up. I can't let it go." It can be information that can call us to fail. It can call us to falter and stumble. But what happened to Elijah? He was in one time zone on the mountain. But when he came down from the mountain, he was still in God's time zone. But he received a note from a completely different time zone. And it wasn't in God's zone at all. It was in a mean queen zone. And he read that note, and it just dashed his hopes and his faith. And he said, "There's no reason for me to continue, Lord. Let me die." That's pretty much of a quick change of attitude right there, and not in a good way either. But what he didn't understand was the God that was operating on the mountain is the God over this wicked queen right here. So when she handed you that note and reached from her zone into yours, you received it from her zone, but you forgot You forgot about this, Elijah. You're supposed to stay in God's zone even when you read or hear something or know something that's from another zone. Amen. You've got to hold on to what God says to you. Receive the promise and walk in the promise, and don't let anybody's words destroy you. You may be looking death in the face, but say, I will not believe you because I'm in God's zone right now. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stand. I'm not going to falter. I'm not going to be afraid. Doesn't matter what a doctor said. That's not in my zone. I'm believing my God. I'm in God's time zone today. I'm not going to believe your report. Whose report do you believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. Every time I'm going to stand on the word of God. Don't believe what the devil says. Don't believe that bad news. I'll tell you, if you listen to news every day, that's a different zone altogether there. You talk about the dead zone. The Bible is called the good news. The news is just usually bad news. Or if it's good news, they'll say, here's a human interest story. Excuse us while we tell you something that's positive. And then we get back to our regularly scheduled down in the dumps, horrible, death, dull, drying, dying, because that kind of stuff gets people's attention. There are things that occur from God's zone. It's kind of difficult to interpret in your own zone. That's what happened to Elijah. He got something from Jezebel, and it upset his complete equilibrium, and he lost his balance. Psalm 27 and 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You see this a lot, don't you? At airports, subways, train stations, because people don't know if it's going to show up or not. But, you know, trains today, they're pretty much on target. So, you know, the train you rode recently, no, we don't ride trains much anymore, do we? It hauls a lot of things for you. We get in our cars and we drive. So what are we doing in the car? I'm going to honk the horn and get around these people. Why? Because you're not in God's zone. You're just in a human zone. And everybody is in a hurry to get there quickly. And if you're wondering who starts it all, it's me. I'm one of them because I'm in a hurry all the time. And I don't know why. I'm in a hurry to get home. And I get there and I'm like, well, I'm here. I went through a stale yellow light. Might have been green when my trunk went underneath it. I don't know, but I'm home now. Don't know why I hurried. It's just the fast pace we live in. That's not God's zone. That's our zone. It's a pretty bad zone. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's more than standing still. That's more than just standing still, saying, oh, he'll show up eventually. I'm just going to waste my time until God gets here. No, waiting on the Lord means I'm going to keep doing what I was doing. I'm going to keep doing what he asked me to do. Waiting on the Lord doesn't mean at least I don't have to pray, because, you know, it's his serve. You know, in this game, it's his serve, and I'm waiting on God, so I'm just waiting on him to hit the ball in my direction. No, waiting on the Lord, I'm here for you for whatever you need me to do. To wait on the Lord means I need to keep talking to him, communicating to him. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Joshua chapter 10 has a really awesome story. And what had happened is a king had gotten, he was really the kind of the spokesperson for five kings. He said, we're going to go get his attention, and then we're going to annihilate his army. But we're going to attack the people that he said he would protect, and it was the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were one of the first people to show up at the camp when Israel crossed over into the Promised Land, and they had defeated Ai, Jericho, and then Ai. And so they were on a roll, and the Gibeonites heard about it. And so they sent a delegation. It was about 17 to 25 miles from them to where the camp of Israelites were, and they took their canteens and their satchels, their, you know, food pouches, and they used old leather. They got old shoes and bandaged them up and they made their clothes look old. They even brought moldy bread. They got bread that had been sitting around, and they aged it, and it was old, and they put moldy bread. And they had all these props to look like we've been on a long journey. And so you should have caught it when they went up to the Israelites, and they said, "We come from a long journey. And look at our bread, it's moldy. Look at it. Our wine jugs, they're empty. You can see. Look at we were wearing brand new stuff when we left. And look at this." To me it was too obvious. But Israel had other things to do. They've been fighting and winning big battles. And they said, "All we want to do is make a pact. Please have mercy on us and agree that we will do what you need us to do, but don't attack us and kill us." And Joshua said, "We'll do this because I can see that you've come from a long journey. You're not going to suffer from us. Don't worry. We're about this area right here." And they walked away, and somebody came and said, "We just got a notice that those guys are from right over there. They just came from right over there, just a few miles away." He said, "All right, guys, come back. Let's talk." He goes, "Here's the deal. We gave you our word. We will never, ever attack you. But you're going to be woodcutters, and you're going to haul water for us." And they said, "We like that. It's better than the alternative." And so that's what they were. Now, you follow them through history. Saul mistreated them. This was before David. Saul mistreated the Gibeonites. And God told David, David said, "Lord, why is there such a famine going on?" He said, "You know, it's been several years." He said, "Because of what Saul did to the Gibeonites." It got his attention, and he said, "You're going to have to make it right with the Gibeonites because of what Saul did, because y'all promised way back." Joshua said, "You're all good." But Saul broke Joshua's promise. See, God was holding them to it because that was about his people and about his name. So early on, now, here we are in the book of Joshua, and this king with five other kings goes and gets five more kings. So now you've got 10 kings that are about to attack the Gibeonites. And Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel and said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon." And Joshua said, "And moon in the valley of Ajalon." And when Joshua said that, the sun stood still and the moon stopped till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. Joshua said, "Lord, let me just ask you, could you do something, please? I don't know how all this works, all the planets. But I just want you to let the sun and the moon to stop, because those are the things that move a lot." And the Lord made the sun and the moon stand still for another day. Now, the Israelites, I didn't read this to you, but they drove or marched all night to get to the battle in the morning and fought all day. And at the end of that day, he prays the prayer, "God, we need daylight, please. Make the sun stand still. Make the moon stand still." There's something real cool about this. God heeded the word of Joshua and gave them another whole day. I'm also thankful that God gave the soldiers strength enough to fight a battle all day also. And so they annihilated the 10 kings and all the soldiers that came with them. And Joshua could say, "The Lord made the sun stand still. And the Lord made the moon stand still. And he gave us a whole day." And in Joshua's mind, wow, what a miracle that was. But now that we've been to school, and now that we're beyond those days when they thought the sun and the moon was moving around, we know the sun doesn't move. We know what happened is the earth turns. They didn't understand that then. Here's something I love about God. He doesn't expect you to understand all the minute details of his working and of his miraculous ways. But if you can get your point across to him, If you can just say, God, I don't know how it all comes together, but all I know is I need you to help me with my battle. I don't know who started all of this, and I don't know what the strategy is right now, but dear God, give me strength to win my battle today, God. Give me a way that I can somehow come out as victor in this situation, and I really don't know what to tell you, Lord. What we've got to do, church, is we've got to ease over out of our zone of doubt and our zone of fear and our zone of all the mistakes that we've made, feeling like we don't deserve it, and get over in God's zone and say, Lord, let me dwell in your presence where things don't make sense to me anymore. All I got to do is believe on him. All I got to do is ask him. All I've got to do is let him forgive me and wash my sins away and cleanse me. That's all I got to do. You get in from your zone of doubt and fear into the zone of the healer, the way maker. Oh, the one that, it doesn't say he makes a way where there seems. He makes a way where there's not a way. The way wasn't there, and he said, I am the way. And he just stands there. Says, now, see, you got me. So, yeah, Joshua, he made the sun stand still. But what he really did, he just reached down to that old planet Earth and just went, and stopped it from spinning. Or, he is also the light. God could have just said, we're not going to mess with the rest of the world. They can have their darkness and light and everything's going to stay in order, but I'm going to let the sun shine. See that light you see? He could have said this. He could have said, what you're seeing right there, it looks like the sun. But the sun's on the other side of the earth right now. They're getting their sun in Hawaii right now. But see, that sun, it's a duplicate sun just for you, for today only. So work while it's day, because night's coming and you're going to sleep real, real good. But right now, see, God could have done it any way that he wants to, because he's God. He's God. I've thought about this before. Joshua, you prayed and the world stopped. So if you had an extra day of light, what if the Lord stopped the earth? Somebody on the other side of the world's going, you know, is it just me? Or does it seem like the sun's taking a long time to rise today? Does it seem like this has been like 2 days of darkness? That could have happened. But God in his mercy might have just said, I'll be the light for a while. And you'll look at me and you'll think I'm the sun because I can be what I want. I created it all. It may not make all that much sense to scientists. They're hard to convert, I imagine, because they're too smart and they know all the things that cause their faith to be a little bit difficult. But God did it for Joshua. My last text, 2 Kings 20. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, Hezekiah was a king. He was a good king. He had his flaws like every king, but he was one of the good kings of Judah. They had several that were good. And he was going to die because he had an infection. And prophet came in, Isaiah said, well, I can tell you what it looks like. You got an infection there, and you're not going to live. You're going to die. So anyway, I got to go. It was kind of like that. It was very abrupt, like, and he said, no, wait. Please, is there something? And God dealt with him, and he went back in there, and he said, God's going to give you 15 years because you turned your face to the wall and you cried out to God. And the Lord sent me back in here to tell you, you get 15 years. Now, that right there, coming from somebody like Isaiah now, he might not have understood how great this was, but it was Isaiah the prophet. And that's awesome for that prophet to come and say, God said. Now, first of all, you're crying out to God, face to the wall. That's in a pitiful situation, saying, please, God, please give me some more time. And God interrupts him as he's going out into the courtyard, and he turns and comes back, says, the Lord just told me. So therefore, you know, there's God's in this. He's given you 15 years. And as he turns to leave, he said, look, could you give me a sign, please? I just like a sign. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what is the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up into his house, into the house of the Lord on the third day? I need a sign. If not, I'm just going to every day going to think, is it true or not? Is it true or not? Do you want to live like that? I don't want to live like that. God, give me something to stand on to know. Because if you think you're dying, you'll kill yourself by worrying. I'm pretty sure I'm fading out. I see a bright light. Oh, wait. We'll do that. We'll just convince ourselves. Then Isaiah said, this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing which he's spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backwards 10 degrees? God's given you a choice. In other words, the sundial, right now when we go out there, you're going to see the sun move. And Hezekiah answered, it is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees because it's kind of doing that anyway. But it's just going to be a little faster. So, how about this? Let the shadow go backwards 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried to the Lord, and he brought the shadow. It didn't say it happened next week or it happened next month. It said, when he cried to the Lord, he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. Out in the courtyard was the sundial. That's how they all could tell time. So in sundial time, it was 1:15. But after they prayed, in God's time, it was 1:00. And can you imagine somebody that thinks they're late for an appointment and they run by that sundial and like, oh no, I'm going to be fired for sure. I was supposed to be there right now. And all of a sudden, that shadow goes backwards 10 degrees. You know, there's sometimes some blessings involved outside of the realm of the person in need. Remember, Jesus stood up in the boat and said, peace be still. And there were little boats around. They got the benefit of the peace be still. We didn't get their names or addresses, but God knows who they are. And who knows what impact they might have made and what impact was made on them by being within reach of a miracle and being affected by a miracle. I think about those little boats. I think about our little kids. I think about they're the ones that are affected by our decisions more than anything. And for the sake of the children, musicians could come. For the sake of the children, I want to make my call and election sure. I don't know about everybody here today. I don't know. But my priority in life is this, that God, I can operate in as much in the center of your zone, of your will, as I can. When I say, I'm sorry, I don't have time, I'm in the wrong zone. When it's prayer time for me, and I look at my watch and I think there's something else more pressing, I have to ask myself, is there really anything more pressing than prayer? When I'm trying to build my relationship up with God, but I've got something I need to do first, is there really anything that's first if God is number one? If my priorities are right, my big decisions I make in life should not go against my church life. No, this is my lifeline. This is your lifeline right here. This is what takes care of you in this world and provides for you in the next world. Let's all stand. I want to tell you, my God will bring the shadow back 10 degrees if you need him to. You ask him with faith, believing, he will move earth and heaven for you because he loves you that much, that much, that much. Leaving to go to Texas, my wife said, I'm going to go a little further than I'd planned because, you know, when you go over the St. John's River, I think it is, you get an hour. You go over there and it's 3 p.m. As soon as you cross the river, it just now turned 2 p.m. You made great time. That's all well and good till you're on your way back. It's all well and good when you come back. You got a plan for that hour, you're going to lose. And, oh, I hate losing that hour. There's no way around it. You know, I thought maybe I could go up to Georgia and come down, but it won't work. You still lose that hour. And even more, actually, it seems. But God, He don't operate like we do. And see, we're at the mercy of His time, His sun, the moon, the stars. We're at the mercy of that. And He's a great God, has given us a great world. But there's a zone that God operates in where bad news doesn't continue to be bad news. There's a zone that God is in where what the doctor said is not what has to be. That's God's zone. In man's zone, we say, yep, He said it. But in God's zone, well, God took over and it's not right. God healed me. In God's zone, He picks up your burdens. In man's zone, you don't qualify for that job. But when you get in God's time zone, He'll make a way where there isn't a way. Not where it doesn't seem. He'll make a way where the way is not there. He will make a way for you. All you've got to do is put God in the front of you and say, Lord, that's where I want you to abide. I want to follow you through this life, God. Get behind Him. He will lead the way. He will break down walls for you. He will build bridges for you. Hey, young couples, let me tell you something. If you didn't struggle in your relationship, you wouldn't be human. Every young couple struggles in their relationship. Every one of them. We don't advertise it. I say we, like I'm young. I'm getting so old, I can't remember that far back there. But we don't advertise it, but we struggle. The things that are the most dangerous are the broken trusts. It's those things where the spirit is wounded. You can hurt somebody's feelings. That's different than wounding their spirit. I just feel like dwelling on this a minute. A wounded spirit goes to the core of the soul. It shows up on the face. It shows up in the life. There's ways back, though. But you've got to get in God's zone. And He can heal a wounded spirit. I'm telling you this right now. He can heal that marriage. He can put it together so that your children aren't going to look back and say, I came from a broken home. Many of you did. You're here today. Thank God for that. But anyone that has come from a broken home, the last thing they want is another broken home. But see, the enemy of your soul will reach in your past and drag things up in front of you and say, do you really think you're better than your dad, your granddad, your mother? And try to make you feel like you're not worthy or that you don't have what it takes. But you do. I'm telling you that right now. You do have what it takes. You need to reach your hand out to the hand of a master and say, God, I want you to lead me out of my world. And I want you to lead me, God, into your world. Lord, my world, the math doesn't add up. In my world, when I look up, I see the bottom. In my world, I don't see hope. But Lord, I want you to lead me up out of the pit that I'm in. And I need to get into your zone, into your world, God, where you can put a smile back in my life and you can put a hope back in my soul. Oh, I want to tell you, God is reaching somebody right now. He wants to put hope in your hopeless heart. Amen. He wants to put faith in your faithlessness. He wants to lift you up because you've gone down and you don't know which way is up and which way is sideways. But God wants to help somebody right now. Jesus, in your name, God, let your kingdom come, Lord. Your timeless kingdom, Lord, let it come. And let your will be done in earth as heaven would order it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, yes. I can't forgive him. I can't forgive her. You can But God's got the answer for you. See, healing will come because God is the healer. We talk about miracles. Blind eyes. Lame. Terminal sicknesses. And we talk about those things. You know what we don't talk about? It's got a little private. But we don't talk about God healing brokenness inside. We don't talk about God healing wounded spirits, but He does. And you know what? The one thing I love about God, He's so merciful. He doesn't expect somebody to get up here and say, let me just tell you. It's private. God understands. Be thankful and just continue to serve Him. You don't got to let everybody in the world know about that. Why? God doesn't want you to have shame because of something He did glorious for you. Somebody tells you different, I'm sorry, they can't stand on the Word of God and convince me. There are some things that God will do in secret. He will do a secret. He will do a secret healing privately, and no one would even know until they see health return to your life, to your face, and you begin to walk differently and talk differently. Jesus touched the woman that was bowed down. And He said, daughter, be loosed. And she raised up for the first time in years. I've always felt like her injury was an emotional one from a relationship. I've always felt like it's something happened to her that caused her to slowly fold under the pressure. And Jesus was the only answer that could raise her up again. I want to do a little bit different here today. I want us to gather to the front. There's going to be those that are praying for somebody, but there's those amongst us who need to enter God's zone where things don't add up and God does what He wants to do. He'll move a mountain for you. I want you to come down, and as you come, when you break the plane of these first few rows, I want you to imagine in your mind that you're walking from your zone into God's time zone. I want you to, in your heart, think, Lord, I'm coming into a place I've never been before. I'm about to take my burden. I'm about to take my sickness. I'm about to bring my disease. I'm about to bring my disappointment. I'm bringing everything that's been shattered, my hopes and my dreams. I'm bringing my pieces to You in a bag. I'm bringing all of the shattered part of my life. I'm bringing it down to You, Lord, and I'm entering into God's zone. And when I get into God's zone, I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't understand the working of His mighty power, but I am telling you, your God is going to do something for you. Oh, it might start today, and tomorrow you may be a little bit, and the next day a little bit better, but trust me, God will complete the work that He started in you, because He's able to do it right now. He will move heaven, He will move earth, and today He just wants to move on our hearts. Can you believe with me right now? Lord, in Jesus' name, God, in Jesus' name, we need You, Lord, here. We need You, Lord, in this place right now, God, to bless. We need You, God, to touch. We need You, God, to move in Jesus' name. Here these eyes, Lord, have opened up. These hearts, God, have come forward for You today. And I'm asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, do the work that You started. Revive in these minds and spirits today. Revive the hope, Lord. Repair, Lord, the hurt. Repair the damage. And let them walk in newness of life. Let them walk in victory in Jesus' name. You may be standing up here for somebody else. You may be standing in for your mother, your father, a sister, a brother. Trust me, God sees your faith. God knows it's an act of faith that you're doing right now, and God's going to honor that right now. Almighty God, Lord, we're in Your will. We're in Your zone. Lord, we're in Your presence saying, Lord, let Your will be done. Let it be done today on earth as heaven's zone would order it, God. I'm in my world, but Lord, now I'm walking in Your world. Oh, God, bless us in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's talk to Him right now. We need to worship Him. Oh, what a mighty God He is. What a mighty God He is right now. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.